All right. Welcome, everybody, to Mary Craig Ministries, Inc. and Craig House Christian Fellowship. I am Dr. Mary Craig. This is a live teleservice. Today is August 2nd, 2020, and we are in our teaching series, Covenant, God's Way of Relationship. Today, our sermon is Abraham, the Covenant of Promise, Part 3. This is being recorded live. And as we begin, I want to declare out Psalm 145, verses 1 to 9. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and in his tender mercies, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And we thank you, O God, may this be true by your grace, working in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's look at our sermon today. We're talking about Abraham, and today I want to focus in on the relationship between Abraham's obedience and the promises of God. And I just want to say that the promises, well, we'll get into it. So I just want to do a run through in the books in Genesis that deal with Abraham and make certain points. Okay, we'll start with Genesis 12, the obedience. Get out, go to the land, I will show you. The promise, I will make you, I will bless you, I will make your name great. The obedience, you shall be a blessing. The promise, I will bless those who bless you, I will curse the one who curses you. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Genesis 14. Abraham is declared blessed. God revealed himself as God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. God declared Abram blessed and revealed that victory comes from God. God delivered Abram's enemies into his hand. Genesis 15, God removes fear. Basically, he gives assurance as to the covenant. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward, the Lord God. Then there's this little discussion that goes on. And God says, look toward heaven at the stars. I brought you out to give you this land to inherit it. So God cuts the covenant, reveals the future, and defines the territory. Genesis 16, Abraham doubts, and he's going to try to help God out. He has an apparent failure. Genesis 17, God reveals himself as El Shaddai, meaning the God Almighty of blessing. The obedience, walk before me and be blameless, or walk before me and be holy, be blameless, without reproach. The promise, I will make my covenant with you, with him, and multiply you. The obedience, you shall keep my covenant. And then God puts the seal of the covenant as being circumcision. And then there's the promise to Sarah, she will be a mother of nations. Genesis 18, and specifically Genesis 18, verse 19, God makes this command. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And the promise Abraham asks and realizes, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Genesis 22, the obedience. Give the first in the covenant line of the children of promise. That's in verse 22. And the promise in verse 17, like stars and sand, and possess the gates of your enemies. All nations blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Genesis 23, Abraham paid for the field and would not take it as a gift so as not to be indebted to the Hittites. Genesis 24, the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Genesis 25, Abraham dies at 175 years old. He gave all that he had to Isaac, the child of promise. After the death of Abraham, God blessed his son, Isaac. Okay, so what do we want to look at? Why is this covenant termed the covenant of promise? And here's the explanation. In Genesis 15, only God passed through the pieces. God took responsibility for the keeping of the covenant, ultimately through Christ. By the solemn ceremony, Genesis 15, God promised redemption. The one distinctive aspect of the narrative has to do with the fact that Abraham does not pass between the divided pieces, representing the covenantal curse of self-malediction, cursing himself, if I don't keep this covenant. That did not happen. That was not required of Abraham. God did not require this of Abraham. And that is your distinguishing thing. The covenant of Abraham, like the covenants of God, are unilateral, no negotiation. There's this unilateral, no negotiations. And here is from O. Palmer Robertson, quote, by this action God promises, the Lord assumes to himself the full responsibility for seeing that every promise of the covenant shall be realized. It is not that Abraham has no obligations in the covenant relation. Already he has been required to leave his fatherland. Then he is required to administer the seal of the covenant to all his male descendants in Genesis 17. But as the covenant is instituted formally in Genesis 15, the Lord dramatizes the gracious character of the covenantal relation by having himself alone to pass between the pieces. Only God passed between the pieces. They call this cutting the covenant. This covenant shall be fulfilled because God assumes to himself full responsibility in seeing to its realization. It's going to happen because God takes full responsibility for it to happen. And except for the last line there, that is O. Palmer Robertson, who's written several really good books on covenant. Abraham pleads, how can he know and be sure? God assures him. God promises. God solemnly commits himself as Almighty God that though death may be necessary, the promises of the covenant shall be fulfilled. Abraham was not perfect, but Abraham is accounted righteous, forgiven. What he does is credited to him as righteousness, and he is forgiven. God fulfilled his promise in Jesus Christ. In Christ, God is with us. Jesus offers his own body and his own blood as what is called victim of the covenantal curses. Victim. So later on in the Mosaic covenant and the law, they offered the lamb, and the lamb was called the victim in that offering situation, the victim. So Jesus offered his own body and his own blood. He offered up himself as what is called victim of the covenantal curses. He took for the curse, in other words. Jesus' flesh is torn that God's word to Abraham might be fulfilled. Hopefully, by examining the covenants and tracing the grace, it will become clear that it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy, he saved us. Titus 3, verses 4 through 7, read it over and over and over. So, in Genesis 15, God cut the covenant because Abram faltered in his faith. He was drifting and doubting and asking how all this could happen. God cut the covenant with him to give him assurance. Now, this is a fine point, but it doesn't seem to be because Abraham obeyed, but because he was faltering and trying to come up with his own solutions as to how what God promised could come about. Because it was a long time. Okay? Abram left Ur. He leaves Ur of the Chaldees and his former gods because, I mean, basically, you know, he worshiped false gods. So he leaves his former gods, and most of these other gods were territorial. And he finally leaves Haran, but he had no heir, etc. And so how? How is this going to be? God demonstrates great grace here in this covenant with Abraham. God accounted him righteous. God cuts the covenant with a self-maledictory oath to guarantee the outcome. That self-maledictory oath is made by God. God took full responsibility. Throughout the history of Israel, God moves mightily as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Just as we do not go, yay, Adam. Neither do we go, yay, Father Abraham. Read John 8. But we are to see the awesome grace of God who sent Jesus, the seed with a capital S. We must also see the progressive nature of the covenant God made with Abram. Abram believes in the Lord. If you look at Genesis 15, verse 6, Abram believes in the Lord. And God accounted or reckoned it to him for righteousness. But he is also called to believe the Lord and to believe what the Lord believes as set forth in his promises. Read Romans chapter 4. Paul gets into this. With God with him, empowering and preserving, and with a change in name, etc., Abraham comes to that place of Romans 4, verse 16 and following. Now of Abraham, it says that Abraham believed God. So at one point he believes in the Lord, and then he reaches a point where he believes God. Remember, for us it's the same thing. Believe in Jesus, believe Jesus, believe what Jesus believes. Okay, to me this is justification when God, you know, basically accounts him as righteous. It was accounted for righteousness, reckoned to Abram as righteousness. And this is justification, a one-time act of being declared righteous, a righteousness laid to our account, being judged righteous, followed by a progressive sanctification. The more we think about it, the more amazing it gets. God takes this ordinary person, a worshiper of no gods, and look at the outworking of the grace of God in Abraham's life. Now, I want to highly recommend this. Croy actually sent this to me in an email, this reference, and it is really excellent and worth going through because there's so much in Abraham's life and this covenant. So for more insight into the covenant of promise God made with Abraham, it'll be in the written version of this when it goes on marycraig.org. It'll be up on the homepage for a while. But it's from desiringgod.org, messages, the covenant of Abraham. And this is John Piper, and he's really good, and this is an excellent message. It's long, because his teachings are long, but if you want to, you know, really come to grips with this covenant, and there's so much in it. But now I want to talk about the blessing. Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. God promised him a great name, a great posterity, and a land to dwell in. God will be God to him and to his descendants. Abraham is freed from condemnation. God will bless him in this age and in the age to come. God will bless the world with the blessings of Abraham. All the families of the earth will be blessed. And you can look more, Genesis 18, verse 18, and Genesis 22, verse 18. God works so that Abraham will, in fact, fulfill the conditions of the promises by means of the obedience of faith. It's called the obedience of faith. But God works it. God works it, so that Abraham will fulfill the conditions of the promises. There are seven blessings of Abraham. Number one, I will make you a great nation. Number two, I will bless you. Three, I will make your name great. Number four, you will be a blessing. Number five, I will bless those who bless you. Number six, I will curse those who curse you. Number seven, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And for more, you really need to go into Genesis chapter 17 and Romans chapter 4. Now, in Galatians 3:16, and Galatians 3 is another chapter to really read to come to an understanding of a better understanding of this covenant and how important it is, this covenant made to Abraham. Now to Abraham and his seed, singular, his descendant. See, today they're translating it offspring. And that can, to me, can kind of be one, singular, or plural, offspring. If you have one child, that's your offspring. If you have three children, or five, or 20, they're your offspring. See? So that's how they're translating it now. But Paul makes it clear in Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says not, and to seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, which is Christ. So it's all this stuff is gonna go on with Israel and that whole history of Israel, and why it took so long, I don't know, a couple thousand years, but then it gets down to the time when God the Father sent Jesus Christ here, John 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We call it the incarnation, and so it's Christ, Galatians 3:16. And this is very important. I can't stress enough. Now, some of you are reading other things on this covenant of Abraham. And why is it important? Because the blessings of Abraham come down to us through Christ. And other passages of Scripture, like bless and do not curse, that you might inherit the blessing, and things like this. There's all kinds of things that relate and all, and you see this traveling through the history of Israel, how God keeps the covenant. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and even beyond. And then when Jesus comes, Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. And there's just so much. All right, but what I want to go into now is every believer can learn from the life of Abraham by discovering important truths connected to the blessing of God. Number one, surrender the first and the best, not leftovers. And that is Genesis chapter 17 and 22. Number two, recognize God owns everything. He is possessor of heaven and earth. Genesis 14. Number three, practice the obedience of faith and do what God says. God told Abraham, you shall be a blessing. See, when God gives these commands, like we're going to see even with the covenant made with Moses, you shall not have any other gods before me, like in his face. You shall not. That's in that command is also a promise. It's not going to happen. You might go up and down and sideways, but there will come a day and you will not have any other gods before me or in my face. You will have nothing in between. God wants nothing in between him and us. No idols. No idols. You say, well, I don't have little figurines around. No, idols can be anything that God decides is getting in between us and him. But in heaven, we behold his face and we don't die. We behold his face and we shall behold his face. His face. It's going to happen. There won't be bearing false witness in heaven, lying. There won't be running after other gods, spiritual adultery. There won't be anything. There won't be robbing God. There won't be stealing. There won't all of these things. Those built into the commands of what we call the Ten Commandments are is also a promise. It won't be. It'll take our whole lives because we have a sin nature and all this and blah, blah. Read Romans chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8. But this is the way it works. Practice the obedience of faith and do what God says. So watch the attitude of Abraham. It was not, I don't have to. I don't have to. That's an attitude of lawlessness. Rather, it's I will. And we specifically see this in Genesis chapter 22, verses 13 to 18. Abraham did not hesitate. And you know where else he didn't hesitate? In Genesis 17, when God has him, when God establishes circumcision as the seal of the covenant, Abraham doesn't hesitate there either. He goes and he does it. That's the obedience of faith. He believes in God, and then he believes God. And when God told him to do something, he did it. He knew God. He was the friend of God. He was familiar with God. Number four, learn the patience of waiting. It was 25 years before Isaac. Abraham waited for the exact fulfillment of the promise. But God also waited because in the meantime, before Isaac is born, Abraham is coming up with his own solutions to how he's supposed to have an heir, how is this supposed to happen? And he comes up with his, they've, you know, oh, well, it's probably going to be this way, you know. This man is kind of like my son. I'll call him my son. And then, okay, well, that didn't qualify. No, no, no. And then it's like, well, you know, Sarah's really old. How's that going to, you know, because God says it'll be Sarah. Well, she's really old. How's that going to be? So maybe by a surrogate like that, you know, through Hagar, that's how it's going to be. No. And it's 25 years before Isaac is born. I don't know how, I don't know, maybe Ishmael was, I don't know exactly how old he was when Isaac was actually born, but he was at least 13 or something. Maybe he was a little older than that when Isaac was born. All right, and God waited. That's, God just waited. Number five, be convinced of both the goodness and the power of God. God is faithful, and he also will do it. And number six, give tithes and offerings. Abram gave Lot the choice of land at one point. You can read it. Or watch the movie, but even though it's not totally accurate. Abram gave of the spoils of war to Melchizedek. Abram offered Isaac, the first in the line of the children of promise. Throughout his life, Abraham gave gladly, graciously, generously, and as God guided him. God was guiding him. Number seven, die to the flesh. Isaac came after God changed Abram's name to Abraham. The ha in there is the breath, like the breath of God. Ha, ha, like that. And you'll see that, you know, Isaiah is ha, ah, it's the breath. The breath of the Almighty is the Holy Spirit. God changes Abram's name to Abraham, Genesis 17, verses 1 and 5. And so here comes this ability to die to fear, doubt, and unbelief. Abram left his homeland, but when famine came, he drifted from a firm faith and went down to Egypt. He questioned God in Genesis 15, verse 2, but in an attitude of inquiry to have doubt removed. Now, one of the job descriptions of the Holy Spirit is to remove all doubt. So when we have doubts and we're starting to drift, and get afraid or doubt, start to drift, you doubt, you disbelieve, disobey, and you die. That's a pattern. You see it in Hebrews too, also. And but the Holy Spirit, if we pray and ask God for the Holy Spirit to remove all doubt, that is a prayer the Holy Spirit will answer. Abraham had to die to unbelief. He sought to help the promise along, as I said, through Hagar and Ishmael. But after 25 years, a new name, and a new surrendered life, the promise came to be. The promise was realized. Number eight, look out for the inheritance of the covenant. Abraham did just that. He gave gifts to the sons of his concubines, but to Isaac, the child of the covenant, the child of promise, he gave all that he had as an inheritance. And when we baptize, that's a child, they become, until proven otherwise, they're treated as part of the covenant community. They don't know any more than a baby knew that it was being circumcised on the eighth day, males. The child of the covenant. We are children of the covenant of grace. We are the children of promise. Now, and Proverbs 10:22 says this, the blessing of the Lord, and that's the covenant Lord there, the blessing of the covenant Lord makes rich or makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Abraham knew God is shield and great reward. As El Shaddai, the God Almighty of blessing, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, the Lord God, Jehovah Jireh, or Yahweh Yireh, the covenant Lord, judge of all the earth, and as El Olam, the everlasting God, he received great revelation into the nature of God, God's heart and soul. Abraham was able to receive, for God said in his promises to Abraham that he would give to him. God would give to him. Now, I want to say this. Satan tries to bankrupt us emotionally, so we grasp in greed to fill up our coffers instead of receiving as grace upon grace. Satan tempts us to grasp the tangible and less valuable, and so robs us of greater glory. Abraham took the persons over property in Genesis 14, as he had vast wealth, and he let Lot choose. He let Lot choose whatever you want, and of course Lot chose the very best of the land. Abraham was a giver, not a taker. He saw himself as full, not hungry for more. This is an attitude. And God poured out upon him grace upon grace, favor upon favor, and fullness. The spiritual law is, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and running over, etc. Jesus, that's Jesus talking. And we must be both gracious givers and grateful receivers. Deuteronomy 8:18. But remember that it is the Lord, the covenant Lord your God, who gives you the power to gain wealth in order to confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Deuteronomy 8:18. To confirm the covenant that he swore to your fathers, that covenant, those covenant promises went first to Abraham, then to Isaac, then to Jacob, and on and down the line. You can trace it through the history of Israel. So as we close here, let us have regard for the covenant Lord, the covenant of the Lord, the people of the covenant Lord, the purposes of the covenant Lord, and the promises of the covenant Lord. Amen. And now, Lord God, we ask you to bless us with the blessings of Abraham, Lord, and to grant us grace upon grace. We thank you for your long suffering and for your mercy. We thank you for the supply of Jesus Christ in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that we have wealth. We have every spiritual blessing. Ours is not just tangible blessing. Ours is a spiritual blessing, Lord. And what you give us in Jesus Christ, Lord, will get us when it really matters from here on this earth. Well, from here, and when we physically die, we have to get from here to heaven. We have to get from here into eternal life in Christ. And you, O Lord, are faithful, and you also will do it. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, if you please, we'll stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13:20-21. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
All right.